Shark family, back another week, hanging out with Ashley Van Houten. I think I said that right, Van Houten. We hung out with her at Paleo FX. She's awesome. She runs the podcast and writes for Paleo Magazine, which is really, really cool. In order to become somebody that is speaking on behalf and writing on behalf of that magazine, you've got to be pretty dialed in. On top of that, she's super strong. If you follow her on Instagram, you can see her get really strong. And let's be honest, strong, good talker, knows her shit. It's a great interview. Want to let you guys know we are going to be at the Spartan World Championships at the end of the month, 28th, 29th, and 30th. We are doing the PodFest out there. We're going to be running shows, hanging out with everyone over at the FitAid booth. So make sure you get over to FitAid. We'll get you a free FitAid, get you some adult soda in your life with all the delicious ingredients. But come over, say hello. We're going to be running the race on Saturday. We've got shows lined up. We're going to be doing interviews, and it's going to be a killer time. Doug and Mike were able to get out there last year. They ran the race. Supposedly it's 17 miles long, which is about 17 miles more than I usually run in my life. And supposedly it's straight up a hill. So it's going to be pretty interesting. We're going to be running on Saturday. We're going to be doing shows on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, having a blast. And make sure you get over to the FitAid tent because they're awesome. They support the show and we really enjoy hanging out with them. They're very cool people and they always throw a good little bash at these events. So get over to FitAid, come hang out with us, say hello. That's going to be the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Of September. Make sure you get over to tryomax.com/shrugged. Omax has been a huge supporter of the show. I want to discuss omega-3s for a minute because Omax 3 Ultra Pure, the purest omega-3 supplement on the market, contacted me about sponsoring the podcast. In case you're unaware, omega-3s have been touted as one of the healthiest supplements, but many have questioned whether this fact is too good to be true. So you guys know that I do my homework on every potential sponsor on this podcast. After talking to Omax 3 and trying their supplements, they're definitely a must try. Make sure to visit tryomax.com/shrug to get a box for free. Again, that's tryomax.com/shrug for a free box. Over 75% of Americans don't get enough omega-3s in their diet, and you're probably one of them. So let me tell you why they are so important to your health. They alleviate joint pain and muscle soreness. We need that. We lift weights. Get the joint pain and muscle soreness gone and make you feel your best, especially post-workout. They can also improve focus and memory, boost cardiovascular health, and more. And you're also probably wondering what else makes Omax 3 different from other supplements on the market. You've probably seen some of these supplements at the store, but many of the top sellers simply don't contain enough omega-3s to give you results. Omax 3 Ultra Pure is almost 94% pure omega-3 fatty acids. It's the purest concentration on the market. They have a patented EPA to DHA ratio of 4:1, specifically engineered for inflammation and joint pain. They have this cool thing they do called the Freezer Test Challenge. Basically, if you freeze any other omega-3 supplement, it'll get cloudy. That's all the filler. But an Omax 3 soft gel remains clear. It's that pure. Omax 3 is clinically tested, so it's safe for you and your family. The purest option. No fish burps. There are many omega-3s on the market, but this is the purest, most potent, most concentrated one. So whether you're an athlete, student, busy parent, gamer, or working professionally, almost anyone can benefit from Omax 3 Ultra Pure. And best of all, you can notice the positive effects within days. Go to tryomax.com/shrugged to get a box of Omax 3 Ultra Pure for free. That's tryomax.com/shrugged to get your free box of Omax 3. tryomax.com/shrugged. Omax 3 comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have plenty of time to try it and feel the Omax difference. Finally, I want to talk about Organifi, the new complete protein shake. This thing is delicious. I get a box every month. You got to get your protein and your vitamins all in one delicious filling drink. A high-protein boosts your metabolism and gives you more energy for your workday. You absolutely need protein for keeping your bones and muscles strong. Most high-protein meals take time and energy to prepare. Organifi Complete Protein is a high-protein drink that is extremely quick and easy to make. It tastes delicious and has a pleasing texture. None of that gross protein stuff from back in the day. It was like a big clump inside the water. It even contains most of your day's essential vitamins. Take a look at these top quality certified organic ingredients. Pumpkin seed protein. Perfect plant proteins. Pumpkin seeds are extremely rich in magnesium, so they help strengthen bones, teeth, and even your heart. Quinoa protein. Very nutritious plant protein used for thousands of years in South America. It even contains anti-inflammatory compounds called flavonoids. Those are cool. Most people love quinoa protein for its familiar oatmeal-like flavor. Pea protein, vitamins from 100% real whole foods, MCTs, unique digestive soothing enzymes, all kinds of them. Monk fruit, coconut, vanilla bean. You got to get over to Organifi. Make sure you get over to Organifi.com/shrugged. It's not a backslash. Organifi.com/shrugged. You're going to save 20% using the coupon code SHRUGGED. Organifi.com/shrugged. And let's get into the show. Ashley Van Houten. See you guys at the break. Welcome to Barbell Shrug. We are here at Paleo FX hanging out with my main bro, super homie, Douglas E. Larson.
Bet.
Dr. Andy Galpin hit you with a double back and bicep pose. And Colton is on the cam. And if you can't see Colton right now because he's holding the camera, he literally has a shirt on that he has owned since he is 9 years old. His mom bought him this shirt because she thought it was cute. It was like, what does he even say? I just want to ride bikes with you. He basically got this shirt so he could wear it into the frat party late at night and find some person that needed a friend.
It's damn near a fishnet shirt at this point.
Yeah,
it's
cool. Just that
nothing
style's
but holes.
Coming back in, you guys.
Yeah,
that's what he's saying.
Making like it cool.
His pickup line is, this would look really good at American Eagle right now. He smells like. I thought
you were going to say this would look really good on your bedroom floor.
Abercrombie and Fitch. He's got blue water.
Thank you, babe.
Polo cologne
yeah,
on.
Good to go. Thank you.
The only person that's not embarrassing right now, our guest.
Yet.
We're working on it.
Hasn't spoken yet.
Let her talk.
There's still time.
She'll get,
yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Ashley Van Houten.
You're right.
Look at that. Yep. Houten.
You're good.
I've only been saying it wrong for the last 2 days.
It's
right. Getting excited for
Everybody
this moment.
Does.
And then I found out I was wrong.
Glad we
Confidence
asked.
Was down. Now it's back up. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Welcome
I'm
to
good.
The show.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I am absolutely honored to be here, and not to sound corny,
absolutely,
but it's kind of a big deal. I'm a little bit starstruck.
How? We just walked by you on the way to go get some delicious paleo food, and you were just talking
I'm
away.
I'm popular here at this show, and that's the only place. So, I kind of, it lets me like get a little full of myself, and then I go back to the real world.
If it relieves any of the pressure, there's one person in this circle of trust here that has been talking about you literally for the last 72 straight hours after your first conversation.
We had a great chat, right?
We did. We fucking killed it on the phone together. Yeah. I was
literally.
Like, damn, Ashley's going to be like my fucking bro.
Yeah, we're BFFs now.
We need to hang out.
Yeah, can I be a super bro too? Because you introduced. Okay.
Yeah, you're a super bro. You're
all right.
In. You're
sweet.
In. You're
Thank
in
you.
On the party.
Thank
I feel like I was been left out because I just started following you on Instagram like a minute and a half ago.
Well.
I feel like I missed. I've been missing this now.
And since I totally called you out like 10 minutes ago about coming on my podcast.
Improperly.
How was it improper? What did I do wrong?
Remember, it wasn't my
fault. Oh, yeah, it wasn't your fault. Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
Whose fault
that was
part.
It?
Well, she tried
well,
to
Well, it
get
wasn't my fault either, so
she
I had to blame
Brian
somebody.
Brian McKenzie would actually put us in connection, and then...
Sorry, we're calling out Brian here. Sorry, Brian.
So I went through Brian McKenzie. Oh, we found the weak link. I got it.
He's a great guy, Brian.
But for context, you host the Paleo Magazine podcast.
Yes. Yeah, Paleo Magazine Radio. It's been about a year and a half now, so I'm still like pretty new at it, but it's an awesome gig. Like, I know why you guys like doing what you do. It's super
tough.
Fun. You just get to, but you also get to pick like out people that you are interested in and the stuff that you're interested in and be selfish and just ask the questions you want answers to and then hope that other people enjoy it too. Like, it's a sweet gig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're pretty new. Like, you have like 200 shows. That's a lot of shows.
Yeah, the first 150 or so were not me. They were.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's been Tony, right?
Yeah, it was Tony Federico. Yeah,
fired, got rid of his ass.
Yeah, yeah, he's out. Shit. He's out. I'm in.
Gone.
No, he did a great job. But yeah, the podcast is a few years old, and he kind of moved on. And the editor in chief of Paleo Magazine, Kane, asked if I wanted to do it, and I thought it was time to maybe have like a woman's voice, because we do have a lot of female listeners too. So I thought that was nice. Yeah, a lot of women.
Weird.
A lot of women. I know, and I wonder, I want their feedback, because I feel like I don't get feedback enough. But I am kind of like meatheading it out a little on the podcast a bit, and I don't know if they like it or not. So they haven't told me they don't like it, but like I'm trying to get like MMA fighters, and like I have a friend who's a professional arm wrestler, and like that's the shit I'm into. So I'm hoping that they respond to it too, but we'll see.
Arm wrestling.
It's such a cool sport.
Yeah,
such a badass sport.
Radical.
I mean, well, and so I'm into MMA too, and there's something about the competition between two people. Like, it's you and me, and that's it.
No.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Oh,
you
we're
too.
Doing it.
You too. I'm
but
out.
It's like, and the arm wrestling thing, there's so much of it is about like intimidation and the process of like coming up and meeting each other, and you've got this like the arm wrestling thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's women who do it too. It's intense. If you watch some YouTube videos, it's like, it is serious.
I feel like
serious
we're about to
shit.
Go on we'll one here. Later, can we get a little context to your life? Background, strength conditioning, paleo, writing?
Okay, I'll try to give you some context to my life.
Because we're going to talk about all these things in depth.
Yeah, cool. So I don't have kind of like a cool triumph story how I got into paleo and fitness and stuff, because I luckily don't have any kind of food sensitivities or any sort of health issues, knock on wood. I've been very lucky.
They allow you to work for PaleoFX without being sensitive to gluten?
I can totally eat gluten.
What?
And actually, I can totally eat it. I mean, it makes me fat, but like I can eat it, you know, so I try not to. So I basically just have always loved like strength. I've always been attracted to strength in men or women or any kind of capacity. I love muscles, always loved it. I remember like being 5 years old in my backyard, you know, playing in the sprinkler with my siblings. My mom's like, okay, pose down time. We're all in our like bathing suits and doing like muscle man poses. And I was into it. I just always loved muscles.
Good
so
for you.
As soon as I could,
I
was
shirt off right now.
Don't no. She's in the muscle, bro.
Was your mom into it too? Like most moms aren't trying to tell their daughters to like give a double biceps in the yard.
I thank my mother for kind of exactly how I turned out to be, for better or for worse. But she was a gym rat too growing up, so she was always in the gym and strong. And I think she imparted that to me. And it was never a weird thing for me to try to be as strong as I possibly could. And I did maybe throughout my life got some weird kind of feedback from dudes who were like, your shoulders are probably big enough and stuff, like whatever. I didn't really give a shit. So anyway, I kind of always worked out, and I was like doing bicep curls when I was 16 in the gym. And I'm not really athletic per se. Like, I'm not good at team sports, and so I didn't really play a lot of them, but I knew that I liked athletic endeavors, so I just had to find something that I was good at and that I enjoyed. So, you know, I did gymnastics for a bit. I did swimming for a bit. And then I got into CrossFit, as everyone does. And I liked it for a while. And then I stopped.
Does.
Like
That's
exactly.
What people do.
There's an arc. There's an
you
arc
live
that
in
happens.
Such a bubble. Like everybody CrossFits.
I kind of.
Of course.
I absolutely live in a bubble.
We all live in that bubble.
We
I think everyone works
bubble.
Out every day.
But, you know, like that arc is very familiar, right? Like people like find out about CrossFit because maybe they played sports in college or something, and now they're like just living a normal life and going to an office, and they're like sad and they want to work out. So they find CrossFit, and it's super competitive, and you get like strong and jacked really fast, and so people are super into it. And I did that whole thing. I didn't really get super competitive with it, a little bit, but it was mostly just for fun. And then I kind of kept moving on, and I did some powerlifting for a while, and I really enjoyed that. And then I was into jiu-jitsu, and I'm still kind of into that on and off. And then I got into bodybuilding because I just wanted to see what I look like with a six-pack because I've never had one.
Yeah.
And I found some success with that. I really enjoyed it. I'm not, like, super good at anything, so I try to just kind of experiment and learn and try a lot of things because
Sounds like you're super good at being a badass, though.
Yeah. I try. I'm pretending, and if you guys are convinced,
I'm pretending.
Yeah,
always learning a little bit.
Well,
yeah.
You're kind of more powerlifting-ish now.
I'd say
powerlifter, bodybuilder.
Right now, it's more like bodybuilding, jiu-jitsu, and I was hoping to do a show this summer, and then I just kept eating, and so it's not going to happen now. but we'll see.
I'll start dieting tomorrow.
I fucking love this girl.
I literally spent a month doing that. Tomorrow I'll start. But I really, really enjoyed the process of bodybuilding. This is something I talk about a lot because it's such a weird, dysfunctional, messed up, like extreme world, and people have a lot of shitty things to say about it because it can attract some really like dysfunctional eating and some weird kind of body image issues. Absolutely. But I had a positive experience with it, and I learned a lot about myself, and that's what all of these projects are about, is learning and then hopefully imparting some information to other people. That's kind of what my job is. So I really had a good time with it. It's amazing to see what your body's capable of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me and Andy have a friend named Lauren who used to be a weightlifter. He's a PhD biomechanist now. He was a Canadian national champion. And he always used to say that weightlifting is good for you unless you compete in it. And I feel like that's kind of how it is for bodybuilding also. It's like that's a really healthy thing to do unless you compete in it. And then now it's not about health anymore. It's about winning. And to win, you need to do some things that might not be so healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the case with any sport, right? Like when you go from recreational to serious, it's like you're making some sacrifices. It's at the expense of your health and lifestyle a lot of the time. But, people make those sacrifices all the time. It's whatever. We're going to die a little earlier, but we had fun, so.
which of those?
I'm not into that fasting because I'm going to live forever thing. Well,
that's
going to
be a great
that?
Social
Well, don't
poll.
Worry. Yeah. That shit doesn't work anyways.
We're
going to
clip that one out for social media.
Can we talk about that? Yeah. I want to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
Which one?
I believe that lie.
No, hold on. We can come back to that lie if you want, but I want to know, of all those things, which one do you feel like you were the best at the quickest?
Bodybuilding, and here's why. Because
you're so jacked.
Because I'm so jacked, and because bodybuilding is a beauty contest, and so much of it is about genetics.
Because I'm hot.
Worked out great because I'm fucking attractive.
It's literally genetics that you have no control over. So I was a swimmer forever. I have broad shoulders for my size, but literally it's genetics. If you do a figure competition, they want broad shoulders and a tiny waist, and that's what I genetically have. I have no choice over it. So it worked out really well. And like for other bodybuilders, like I was just like creeping on Ben down there. Like it's all about a lot
you
of
and
it.
All the other women in this room right
and
now.
Me.
And
and all the guys in the room too.
He was just casually hanging out, talking to someone, and he like made eye contact and he like dropped that foot back and like turned his leg and like kind of gave that like most muscular pose. And I was like,
I hug him.
You
a
won.
Lot.
You won.
Not because I know him well, but just. I just
because it's nice.
I need to feel.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
If you know who Ben is, Ben was like a top 10 bodybuilder for a long time.
Ben Pakulski.
He's like super smart.
300 pounds, like 8% body fat.
I listen to him one time, and we talk about him daily.
Yeah,
he's an awesome guy. I'm going to be listening to your podcast with him later because he's awesome.
Yeah.
I will say too, and this is something I can say because it can never be, you can never kind of call me on it, is that if I had started jiu-jitsu earlier, like I kind of feel like I'd be in the UFC right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, just saying.
I can see
you
that.
You can't call me on it because there's no way for us to ever disprove that, but I have been.
And that's science, friends. Yes. Put together contentions that can't be disproved.
Yes.
That is science.
I love the sport so much, and I've loved UFC forever. I've been a huge fan. I love watching the sport. I've interviewed a couple MMA fighters for my podcast, and I didn't get into it until I was, like, I started when I was, 3 years ago, so when I was 30. And I feel like if I had had more guts and known about it and started when I was, like, 16, like, I'd be, like, fighting people for money right now.
You're interviewing these people on the podcast. you're interviewing these people on the podcast. It is the Paleo podcast.
Yep.
And not everyone's paleo that's on there, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought that up so I can plug this, because one of my biggest challenges, and I love to talk to you guys because you have success that I dream of having, is Paleo Magazine Radio is a great podcast. We have great guests. Like, I'm watching Joe Rogan and Ben Greenfield and Tim Ferriss, and I have a lot of the same guests, and I think I do a pretty fucking good job. Can I swear? I can swear, right?
No.
Of course I can.
No, not on this show.
Especially if you're hyped on yourself. Like, get after it, girl.
I'm really
pumped. You do you.
But because it's called Paleo Magazine Radio, for that reason, I feel like I attract people who are into paleo, and that's great, yeah. and they listen. But people who think it's a fad or don't give a shit about paleo will immediately dismiss it because they think that's all we talk about. And that's my challenge, because I'm really trying to just bring people on who know things about health and wellness and fitness and living a good life and all of these things.
Well, it's the same thing with this conference. When Keith first asked me to come talk at PaleoFX, I just deleted the email. I'm like, I'm not going to that. That sounds ridiculous. And then
you're part of the problem, Andy.
I came down. And was like, actually, I was at a talk this morning, and dude was just shitting all over most of the stuff that has floated around here. And I was like, wow, fuck yeah.
I'm blown away by what's here right now. It feels like I'm at a keto conference and not a paleo conference.
It's so popular.
Yeah. Except for the dude earlier who was just shitting all over that,
and
too.
How do you make a keto cookie?
Who's this guy? I want to talk to
He's
this
over
guy.
There right now doing his book signing, too, actually. It was awesome. It wasn't like that, but he was basically saying, like, hey, look, there's people that don't have gluten sensitivity, and there's people that don't do well on paleo and had all the blood marker stuff, and if you've got this is not going to be a problem. And he just said we need to think, basically, but
he
was really impressed. Blood type or something like that guy. Gotta give him a shout out.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Brandon Andrew Moore something.
Yeah, Dr. Maurer. He was on the panel that I moderated yesterday. Yeah,
he is bringing guys like that in too, knowing what his position is. So that's good.
Yeah, and I mean, I fight against I'm biased because I work for Paleo Magazine, but I fight against paleo not working for people, because I think that when you get past the misconception that it's like a fad diet and it's what our caveman ancestors ate and all that kind of crap, and you boil it down to eating the least processed food that you possibly can, and food that comes from nature and vegetables and animal protein, that's essentially what it is, and then all the details come later and it's personalized for you. Can't imagine
that's a running theme through almost any diet, is to eat
Whole foods, real food.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine anybody who would not think that that's a good idea. And again, there's
it's
details.
It's a branding issue for the most part. It's a branding.
But how do you change the brand?
It's like anything that explodes, right? So CrossFitters are doing bodybuilding all the time in the off season now,
constantly.
Right? Like it's just when the paleo thing happened, it was so unique, and finally Rob Wolf had this podcast and was reaching all these people, and everyone was actually learning about the basics of nutrition.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, nobody ate a carb.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like adrenal fatigue, and everyone was unhealthy. We probably took this thing a little too far, or we didn't understand that it started as a clinical thing. It was never a performance thing.
The
sweet spot's probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I try to talk about on the podcast is that it's like, and what you were just saying, it's like educate yourself. Learn from everybody here, but then don't take anything at face value. Do the things that work for you. So there's a very sort of basic premise here, which is the unprocessed foods and the real foods and the high quality meat and vegetables and all that stuff. But then you need to take it upon yourself to do some research and read some books and talk to people that you think are smart, and then figure some things out for yourself and experiment with yourself. And that's fun. Like, that should be a fun thing instead of a chore. I think that's kind of what it's all about.
Do you do a lot of self-experimentation?
Yeah, I try to. I mean, I'm never going to be like Ben Greenfield levels of just putting light on my junk every day and stuff. Which I'm sure is
he loves talking
cool
about
too.
That.
He loves talking about it. And I can't, and I don't want to test my blood glucose every morning, and I don't want to, that kind of stuff. But I absolutely, and I'm in a cool position with the magazine. I'm the products editor, so I get all this stuff sent to me, and I get to just crush paleo protein powder and bone broth. Yeah, it's awesome. Mm. So I get to try different things, and I've experimented with the keto thing and the fasting thing, and I like to play with this stuff. And also because when I interview people on the podcast, I like to really know what they're talking about. I actually read the books of the people who come on the podcast, and a lot of times they're surprised. They're like, yo, you actually read this entire book. I'm like, of course I did. I don't want to, talk to somebody and have to pretend, right? So that's my job, is learning and then trying to teach other people.
Who have been some of your favorite guests so far? Because like you said earlier, your guest list is actually fucking stacked.
Cool.
If you go look at the guests you had, they're solid. Every one of them.
I mean, so I had Charles Poliquin on the podcast recently, who they're making a smile.
I know Charles.
Yeah. I managed to and he's not a big podcast guy. I'd only seen him on Tim Ferriss, so I was like, yeah, that's a get. But I accosted him at the Bulletproof conference and kind of maybe flirted with him a little bit. I don't know. I was hey, I have muscles too, and he's Canadian. So I always use that kind of in because I'm Canadian too. So, and I got him on the podcast.
There's four of us.
Well, I got to get running here.
No. I have two passports. I have an American passport, if that helps you.
She's playing really. Both sides of the fence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Typical woman move.
I can jet back
up north
if I have to.
We're building a wall
up north too. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about
that.
Those
Canadians coming this way.
We'll see.
It's too many.
Infiltrating.
We're problematic. Yeah. No, Charles Poliquin was amazing. He was fun. So she's here too, Paleo Boss Lady. She suffered from severe MS and managed to overcome it by, as we were just saying, learning and doing her own research. And she went through a very, very strict autoimmune protocol diet. And she says, I don't know what the exact term is, but she's like the most healed MS sufferer because she went from being completely dysfunctional, she couldn't move, she didn't have movement in her hands, to people basically saying she was going to be bedridden for life, and now here she is like touring around the world and you know, telling her story to people, and she's just such a like positive, grateful person, and I think I need a little bit more of that positivity in my life, so I really like talking to her. It was kind of an emotional podcast.
Andy, do you know if someone has MS to that degree, like when they, as they're coming out of it, do they remyelinate those nerve cells?
I don't know. I don't have any. There may be data on that, but I don't know. I've never really looked into that. I can tell you that Reggie Edgerton's work at UCLA has shown very clearly that he can take people that have been, you know, hemiplegic or paraplegic or spinal cord denervation for decades and get them to move again. Mm. And I don't know. I don't think he's using nutritional interventions, but that is possible. It's just a very simple. So that's one of those things where I would believe it. There might be research on there. There might not. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Ask her, maybe.
Yeah. What does your diet look like if you are so open-minded in this paleo field, which at times can be incredibly closed-minded?
Yeah, I think people are starting to move away from that a little bit. Like, I know I'll post things, like, I do social media for Paleo Magazine, and I'll post things, and we'll post a recipe, and it'll have, like, legumes in it or something.
Like
I don't
a
know,
big
like
sandwich.
Peas. And people not even.
Doritos. Like, smash more in the middle, trust
white
me.
White bread.
Covered in mayonnaise.
Literally, one of these recipes had, like, white potato, and people freaked out. But when we respond and say, like, look, it's not about, like, the specific rules. It's like, if you don't like white potato, don't put the white potato in. But for some people, it's cool. And people usually chill out. But yeah, I hope people are becoming a little bit less dogmatic. I basically try to eat, I eat a lot of like game meat, a lot of organ meat. I eat a lot of like the fun stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about organ meat.
Yeah.
What do you go with?
So I have a local farmer who local farm, and they have all kinds of like exotic animals.
Killer.
And they have every part of the animal. I have a massive beef tongue in my freezer.
Where
right
do you
now.
Live?
So this is Ottawa. So I'm halfway between, I'm in Ottawa half the time and New York half the time.
Hmm. And Ottawa, what coast is that?
That's
coast-ish.
Like,
nope.
It's sort of on the
nope.
East Coast, but it's in the middle. It's not on a coast.
Canada's
middle,
the North Pole.
It's near
right?
Toronto.
Middle as you could be.
It's near Toronto. It's
okay.
In Ontario.
How about where's Toronto?
It's
by the Great Lakes.
Detroit, north.
Yeah,
okay, there you go. Yeah,
sweet.
That's close.
Cool.
Anyway.
In the middle.
But... yeah, so great farm. So,
awesome.
I have like a massive beef tongue. I like to do liver. I like to do heart. I've always, and I don't know why I'm like this. That's really another good soundbite. I don't know why I'm like this. But I grew up eating kind of normal food. Like, people weren't super adventurous in my family.
Yeah.
But I have like a very expanded palate. Like, I like to eat like insects. I like to eat all the things, which also makes it hard to diet and eat healthy when you literally will eat anything. I have like stomach like steel trap. I do like a bodybuilding diet a lot of the time that basically leans more towards paleo. So like a lot of like sweet potato and like greens and fatty meat, which is not typical bodybuilding, but like chicken thighs and red meat and, you know, organ meat and that kind of stuff.
Can you talk me more detail about the carbohydrate? Because you got two strikes against you in terms of
Canadian.
Being female.
Yeah.
And being probably really active, I'm just assuming, with all that. Mm-hmm. You can't do jiu-jitsu and bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are, I mean, those are two things that people would have a very hard time on being low carbohydrate.
Yeah.
Generally. So where are you? Do you know your numbers?
Like, I am not low carbohydrate at all.
Okay.
And I actually do much better. Like, I could talk about the whole my keto experience. But
okay,
I actually
so
do.
Yeah, yeah.
I do much better on, honestly, a typical bodybuilding, like higher protein, higher carb, lower fat. I do better in terms of body composition and energy. I have a hard time because I am a small person who likes to eat. I have a really hard time with a high fat diet, which is what everybody's doing these days, because I need quantity. Like, I am a quantity over maybe even quality kind of person. Like, I can't eat 3 macadamia nuts and that's my snack. I can't do it. So keto was like a really not a good thing for me, and also being an active person. But I mean, I'm actually like, my pie chart of macros, because I try not to be too obsessed over that, is like kind of like a third. Solid. Really. Yeah.
And where that do you just get the carbs from, for the most part?
Yeah. So sweet potato, rice and oatmeal. I don't care. Whatever. I eat that stuff.
Fired.
I love it.
I'm telling Keith right now.
Yeah, go tell him. Like, it works for me. Like, I was smart and mindful about trying all of the different kind of carb sources, and if something didn't work for me, it didn't work. But I don't eat a lot of fruit, but like maybe berries and stuff. But again, like, being a small person, like in my head, I am like a 200 pound dude and want to eat accordingly, but I'm not that. It's really hard for me. I have to always kind of be.
Are you moving to SoCal anytime soon? Start training, eating, all the things?
I don't know if I can do California. I feel like I'm like too high strung.
Whatever.
I would switch you in a heartbeat. I'll be fine. I'd go to Ottawa.
If you live in Canada and you go to New York, you would find SoCal to be so refreshing.
But I almost feel like I couldn't.
So refreshing.
I couldn't hang.
It's 70 every day.
Okay, the weather, yeah. Weather I could do, but like New York, like when I moved to New York, people were like,
aren't assholes. Most
New Yorkers
of the time.
Aren't assholes.
You're live in Carlsbad. You don't live
Pacific Beach. Come on,
you're halfway between the two shits.
Colton's in Carlsbad. You think he's ever been mean to anybody? Who's still wearing the same shirt from
like
when he was
nice
9.
So I was in LA
he wears
like last month.
Most of the time.
I think Californians
Fitzby's
are
an
very
all-girls
nice.
Brand, really. Yeah.
I don't know. I just, when I moved to New York, people were like, hey, you know, people aren't super nice there, and like everyone kind of moves really quickly. Mm-hmm. And
is that why you talk so fast?
I've always talked really fast. But I did well in New York because I talk very fast and I walk very fast. And I moved there. I was living in Bermuda. I moved to New York for work, and they're like, you got to be careful because people are mean there, and like they walk really quick. And like within an hour, I was like pushing people out of the way on the sidewalk. Like that's kind of my jam. So I don't
my
know
people.
If California, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. I could
transition.
Do with the weather.
It's an easy transition for a little while.
Yeah, okay.
Any other carbohydrates you like besides potatoes, rice? Because most people are down on the sweet potato bandwagon right now.
Yeah.
Some people, oatmeal.
People are not liking sweet potatoes
no,
right
as
now?
No, as in, like,
said?
Everyone knows that's a good carbohydrate.
Wild. Oh, they're
like,
all
what
down
other
with it. Go
good ahead. Carbohydrates besides? Because oatmeal, some people.
Man, I don't know, really. Like, I'm really actually into, like, Japanese yams and purple sweet potato and stuff, just because I really love the taste. But I don't, like, I for someone who just said that I'm, like, an adventurous eater, generally, like, day to day, I try to keep it, like, the same kind of stuff. Like, especially when I'm trying to lean out, like, every morning my breakfast will kind of be the same and lunch will kind of be the same. So I kind of just rotate a few different carb sources. I'm not doing, like, a lot, really.
What do you do with a cow tongue?
Good question. I haven't prepared it yet, but I did read a couple recipes, and apparently you slow cooker it, and then it shreds, and then you can make like cow tongue tacos. But you
really
do have to you do have to shave off the taste buds first. So I'm
corn
really
taco
looking forward
shell.
To that.
It just doesn't sound
or lettuce.
I've had a tongue taco before.
I've had a ton. It's great.
It's delicious. Tongue is delicious. I don't understand why people don't like organ meat. That's the tasty stuff. Like when people used to hunt game, they would like give their dogs the muscle meat, and they'd eat the brain and the liver.
We have
that's
like
where
a weird thing, like don't eat the brains, like as if it's gonna be like we're gonna start thinking like a cow or something.
Yeah, or I guess like the whole mad cow thing.
Liver's disgusting.
Damn prions.
I like it.
You like liver?
Yeah.
How in the world do you like?
I don't know.
The tongue is like fatty and delicious.
Yeah, and
some
brain
of them
is
are really
delicious.
Good.
Like cream. Hearts are delicious.
Try a wild game liver, and then try a liver you would get in a store, and there's a real, real difference.
The thing is, it is very strong tasting. Like the downside is if you get like a beef liver or something, which is massive, and then you prepare it, and then you are eating liver for like 2 weeks straight, which does get a little old. But I mean, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do for the gains.
Yeah. For the
gains. Do you eat any more obscure organs? Like I feel like people say tongue's relatively common. Heart and liver are probably.
Heart
those are pretty common.
Yeah.
Do you eat anything else
heart
besides those three?
Chicken hearts, like just in the pan.
Eyeball.
So good.
Don't eyeball. Like some eyes.
Good I've one. Eaten, so I once, one of my favorite meals that I've ever had
cheeks.
In New York
Alba
was
cheeks.
Half,
cheek is good.
Half
Alba
a pig's cheeks. Head, roasted pig's head. So the whoa. Tongue, the eye, the ears, the jowl, all of it. And
oh,
it
the jowl is probably
delicious.
Amazing.
Delicious. Yeah. Everything's good. Yeah. I mean,
that, where was that at? That was in the U.S.?
It was in New York, and the restaurant doesn't do it anymore, so boo. But you can still get a roasted pig at a couple places in New York if you really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
They're going to have to send you an Instagram message to find out where.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break.
Cool.
Get back. I want to talk about Paleo Magazine and this writing career of yours.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
Cool.
Perfect. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. Want to thank our sponsors, Thrive Market. Thrive Market is home to the coolest website because you can go in, you can search by whatever your dietary restrictions are, pick the highest quality organic ingredients, the best tasting food, and then the box just shows up at your house. We're excited to be partnering with Thrive Market. We have been with them all year long. I love it when that box shows up. We get all the delicious food, and we know that it's coming from all the best sources. When we interviewed CEO at Thrive Market, it was awesome because I never knew how much research and development is put into finding the products. They've got household products or cleaning products. They've got food, everything you could ever imagine to make sure you're living on the healthy side of life. Make sure you get over to thrivemarket.com/shrug. You're going to get $60 in free organic groceries, free shipping and handling, and a free 30-day trial membership. Get over to thrivemarket.com/shrug. $60 in free organic groceries, free shipping and handling, and free 30-day membership to Thrive Market. ThriveMarket.com/shrug. Make sure you're getting into the vault. The vault is loaded with 11 programs from 18-plus month long-term training programs. So you make sure that you're getting all of the good things into your training program. No more cherry picking, all right? You need long-term programs. You don't really want the long-term programs. You're looking for an accessory program, maybe a squat program that's not going to beat the crap out of your knees and leave you injured, hobbling around. You need a squat program that's not invented by some Russian weightlifter all juiced up on pharmaceuticals over there. Squat the House sounds like it's for you. You don't have a pull-up? Don't worry. We have a program. Guess what it's called? Get Your First Pull-Up. See how that works? 11 programs, 3 long-term programs, CrossFit, Olympic weightlifting, and mass gain. And then you've got 8 short-term programs from mobility to food prep to strongman to the CrossFit open prep to all kinds of things. There's so many of them in there. $47 a month, 11 programs. Get into shrugcollective.com/vault. $47 a month, 11 programs, month to month. You can sign up for the year, I think. If you were smart, you would go sign up for the year because that would commit you to being awesome for at least 12 months. Shrugcollective.com/vault. Back to the show.
So that guy showed up, and all of a sudden people are like, oh, like in the show. And I'm like, I don't know
you're
the
like,
show.
I was here like, first.
I don't have cable. That's what I really should come back. Like, oh, like in the show, you're like, you have cable?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, who are you?
You got to go hang out in Scandinavia more.
Yeah, Anders. That's Anders.
Mm-hmm. Anders.
That's true.
Well, I wish people said it like that more often.
Mm. That sounds badass.
It, right?
Anders.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Welcome back to Barbell Shrug. We are Paleo FX in Austin, Texas, standing on this badass stage. Mm-hmm. All the people are looking at us. I don't really know if that's a fact, but it feels cooler to say.
Andy got bored.
No one's looking at
Andy
us.
Andy was just like, I just don't want to do this anymore.
During the break, he left us. During the break, he left. We didn't even notice.
Had to go to a book signing. Yeah. Oh, sign his book. Oh, I got a book.
Yeah,
no
sweet.
It's really cool.
Oh, it was on Rogan. Do you guys know that? Oh, that's fucking cool.
Andy's book's dope. Unplugged.
Yeah.
Go read it.
Go read it if you haven't already. You should have.
It's a good book.
If not.
I talked about it on my podcast, too, so.
We're going to reintroduce you. Ashley Ben Houghton in the house.
It's me.
You are one of the contributing authors to Paleo Magazine.
That's right.
You know what's really cool? I was checking out at the local grocery store, Sprouts, next to my house, and I picked up Paleo Magazine. And I opened.
You saw my mug.
I saw you.
Yeah.
Right on the like on the inside cover, and then the next page, all the faces and everyone.
Deal. Mark Sisson, me and Mark.
You want to know like social credibility? And I like walked over to the checkout, and I was like, "I'm interviewing her."
Yeah, no big deal.
And I'm pretty sure the cashier didn't give a shit.
No, definitely didn't.
But. I felt cool.
The cashiers do give a shit, though, when I go to, like, Whole Foods and I see Paleo Magazine and it's, like, down here. And so I take a couple and put them, like, on the front of every other thing. So they're like, I totally do that.
Open it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, look at this, like, cool article with this, like, super, like, awesome, probably really smart, pretty girl. Look at that. I'm like, yeah I'm
marketing,
obnoxious.
Just your face.
Hey. Yeah, gotta do it.
Totally
it
shameless.
It's a hard world out there. You gotta do what you can.
When did you start doing the fitness thing? Was it a blog?
So the writing for Paleo Magazine started because, and this is kind of a cool, not jokey, corny thing that I actually want to talk about, is when I'm building my business, one of the things that I've learned the last couple of years, and it sounds sort of cliche, but it's building relationships is about what you can do for other people without thinking about the ulterior motive. Like, all of us want to be more successful and make good connections and have good things happen to us career-wise. But if you're always kind of, if that's always at the front of your mind, people can tell that and sense it, and it's kind of off-putting. So if you go out there with the intention of how can I help other people and you really mean it, those things come back to you, right? So anyway, so how it started with Paleo Magazine is I was doing a master's degree in communications, and I was doing a publishing course, and I had to do a case study on a magazine. And at the time, Paleo Magazine was brand new, and I figured that they'd actually answer me because they were kind of a smaller publication. And I was just getting into Paleo because I had done CrossFit and I was learning about Paleo. So I reached out to Kane, who's the editor-in-chief, and I said, can I learn about your magazine? And he didn't have to do this for me. I was just somebody out of nowhere. And he said, sure. So we spent some time together and I learned about the process and the publication, and it was really, really cool. And a couple months later, he was looking for someone to write a restaurant review about Hugh Kitchen. You guys have been, I'm assuming, in New York? Okay,
no.
So it's like the first paleo restaurant in New York. And it's a great, great
awesome
spot. And I reached back out to him. I'm like, hey, remember me? Like, I'm a writer too. Do you want, I can do it. I'm in New York. And he let me do it, and it went well. And I've been convincing him to let me write for the magazine ever since. And it's been pretty successful. And now I get to do, so every issue I do an interview with either like a paleo blogger or an author or something about what they do. And I do business spotlights, so people, a lot of the companies here, like people who are just kind of doing cool things, like innovative things, new products, food, stuff like that. So I get to interview those guys. I do product reviews, so people get to send me like cool food and swag, and I get to try it all out. And
when did you start writing?
Writing for Paleo Magazine or period?
Just in general, writing's hard. It takes 5-6 years before you even feel good about, especially when you're doing fitness writing, like to be creative enough that someone actually wants to read something you write and to have the knowledge to do it and to be able to portray an actual message in 1,000. What do you get? Like 2,000 words? What's a normal article?
It depends. 500 to 1,500, depending.
Oh, cool. Gotcha.
The jury's still out whether people want to read what I write. I'm
really
still working on that
actually,
part.
So
yeah.
As just a context, I mean, I used to write a weekly article for my gym. I love writing. We have a daily email that goes out of some sort of cool story of weightlifting. I love writing, but mm-hmm. I find it to be a very hard thing because people don't want to spend the time when they could just get the quick Instagram video or the quick whatever it is. And to me, actually writing is like this like really emotional process, mm-hmm. and a lot goes into it because I could tell you something over 2,000 words that's scattered and fucking sucks,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but to get that 2,000 words into 500 and make each sentence matter is a really, really challenging process. That
absolutely.
I mean, I'm probably 8 years into writing something of that meaningful on a weekly basis, and mm-hmm. now it's a daily thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Doing somebody that does it professionally is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything you just described is my life, is trying to write something that I think is meaningful, that people will like, and then still somehow package it in a way that in the current environment where people just want to watch, Instagram 30-second videos, they'll actually listen to it and connect with it. But I've been a writer forever, so that helps. I remember going for a drive with my stepdad when I was like 8 years old, and he's doing the dad thing and saying like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said an author, like a nerd. Like, I wanted to write a novel when I was a child, and I'm still working on that part. But I've been a reader forever. Like, I read like 70 books a year. Like, I'm obsessed. Like, I just read. If I don't have a book on me at all times, I get like anxious. Like, I'm always reading, and I think good writers are avid readers. Like, you got to read a lot to write
structure,
well. Yeah,
make it feel. You have to feel what a sentence looks like.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have been writing since I was a kid. I wrote like scary stories and gave them to my friends, and I've been writing, journals or whatever, writing stories forever. And my background, like my professional background, is communications because I was always a reader. I've always been a talker. It just kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And the communication part of life is what really interests me, is like learning from people and connecting with people and talking to people and communicating information that will be helpful to others. Like, that's the kind of thing that I'm into. into. So it took me a while to get there professionally, where I'm doing communications, but in maybe a world or an industry that I don't give a shit about. So I'm doing something I'm good at, but I don't care about the stuff I'm talking about. I've just, like, really recently in the last couple of years started to be able to funnel the things I'm good at into an industry that I'm interested in. And that's like the sweet spot.
Very
that's
cool.
What's so exciting. But it's still hard. I mean, I write because I love it. But I struggle with the same challenges you do.
Yeah. What's the what's kind of the process to you? Like, what actually inspires you to want to go out and learn from these people? Or who are you looking for when you're in some sort of development of a story? How far out are you? Paleo Magazine's a monthly magazine, right?
It's bi-monthly. So it's like those six a year.
So you've got 2 weeks. So your lead time's 2 weeks on an article.
No. I've got, like, we work way far out. So, like, I'm writing stories for, like, the, like, fall issue now. So we've got lots of time. But, I, you know, it's like you're always just trying to find, like, the unique story. Because here's the thing. A lot of people have similar stories in the fitness world. They're like, I started because I was sick, or I started because I was overweight, or I had this kind of this health issue and I wanted to fix it. And it's like these stories are great, but if everybody's got that story. So you do have to try to find kind of interesting angles. And, like, I struggle with this myself, as selling myself, is I don't really have a particularly interesting story. Like, I think I'm a person that has, you know, stuff of value to give to other people, but I don't have a crazy fucking story. Like, I lost 400 pounds, or I, you know, whatever. I, you know, I'm just here because I'm interested in it, and selfishly because I love to experiment and get stronger and be better and look good and all of those things. And so how do I channel that, the stuff that I like to do and I'd be doing anyway, into something I'm getting paid to do? I mean, that's it.
Do you have enough flexibility with who you interview on your show to interview someone like we both mutually, actually all three of us, really like Jordan Peterson? Like, would he be someone that you are allowed to have on your show, or do you have restrictions on, like, the category of person that you're bringing on?
That's a good question. He would be a very good example of that question. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a sorry, Kane, but like a ask forgiveness rather than permission kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think
it's
I do
great
have
way to live.
Yeah. Hey, why not? I do think I have quite a bit of flexibility, because I think once they saw that I was, you know, doing a good job and my intentions were good, and that I'm not trying to, like, you know, get one over on somebody. I'm just trying to, like, broaden the topics and broaden the people that I have on the show, and hopefully bring in some new people. And I just want people to learn about how to be healthier and enjoy their life better. And so if that has to do with paleo, great. If it doesn't, fine. I mean, I'm not having anybody that's, like, touting veganism on the podcast, probably, because that's, I'm not really particularly interested in that story. But I'd love to have Jordan Peterson on. That's, like,
me too.
Yeah. We'll work on that together.
For a little bit, for the writing side of things, writing in a magazine is different than writing for online. Do you do the online side as well?
We do a little bit of online stuff, and I do some personal writing, which is obviously even more fun, because then I can really just say whatever the hell. I did a lot of blogging for my bodybuilding process, so, like, talking about what that was like, and people really resonated with that, because another thing, I don't want to keep going back to the bodybuilding, because that's not, like, the biggest deal, but a lot of people in that industry, again, because it's like this aesthetic kind of beauty contest, you see stuff online and everyone's, like, very positive and, like, oh, you look so great and everything's so great, but the real world of bodybuilding is, like, very different and weird and creepy.
Yeah.
So I was talking about the, like, you know, people who are, like, eating honey straight from the jar in the you know, behind stage, and you're, like, literally gluing bikinis, like, up your ass so it doesn't move when you're out on stage, and, like, the stuff, and how you have to, like, pee in a cup, because when you're, like, tanned, if you pee and it, like, splashes on your legs, you have, like, tan splashes on your legs when you go. Super sexy stuff, right? So anyways,
the real behind the scenes
pics look awesome.
right, but you look so
come
good
on.
You
look better than ever. I'm weirder than ever too.
Super weird. But anyway, so yeah, I
you
do
gotta play
I do
the game though.
Yeah.
So I do some personal blogging and stuff too, and I'd like to do that a little bit more. I just kind of launched my own website, and I'd like to put more stuff on the blog that's interesting, that doesn't have anything to do with paleo. But
it's really interesting, because, like, I feel like blogging for a very long time was a really good way to get your message out. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, long form content became almost just a waste of time and energy. And yes, you can. SEO content's never going to go away. Long form content's always, like, an important thing. Mm-hmm. But as a writer, when all the social media outlets were allowing you to put extra or put your external links on there and people could actually go to the website, but now that they just bury you leaving Facebook, it's virtually impossible to be found unless you strike gold. The only way to really strike gold is to put out something very, very consistently. That's very, very good. And
still just hope for the best.
And still hope for the best. And I really went through like a real struggling period in this like writing process, because it was something that I was like, man, I'm putting so much of me into this and so much into the education of it. And it's just getting buried. And now all of a sudden, like, we have this podcast, or I'm lucky enough to be a part of this, that it's easier to reach people and educate people. But luckily in the daily emails and stuff, but that long form content is really important. But now you're in a magazine. Do you enjoy the magazine better? Do you enjoy the online content? And kind of what are the differences, just from a pure writing perspective?
Yeah. There is so much pressure. Like, when you're talking, I'm like, I feel all of this pain, because there is so much pressure when you want to write these, like, long-form, like, in-depth, interviews with people, or, like, stories. And really, you should be doing, like, five things that make you sexy now.
Yeah, it's
like,
brutal, right?
Because that's what people – I know. It's
there's
really
nothing
hard.
Worse than seeing, like, five ways to make this cooler. And
like, a billion people like it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know.
You're like, I just wrote 5,000 words on Clean and Jerks. Why didn't you read, like, don't ever, that's the only thing you have to read about Clean and Jerks, and it gets buried.
I mean, as corny as this sounds, I feel like one of the ways I've combated that frustration is reframing how I feel about the whole process, because you can't feel like that work that you did is a waste, because it is valuable. And even if it's not as popular as like the picture of a girl's butt and like ways to make your booty big, that's always going to be more popular. Like, you're still reaching people, and you're reaching the people that care. Yeah. You will. And so that's one of the things that I've had to do is just be like, okay, maybe if I never have 500,000 followers on Instagram, but like, I do have people reach out to me that say that they're listening to the podcast and it's helping them, and they read this thing and they really enjoyed it. And like, I just kind of have to be less concerned with like likes and how popular I am, and are the people who are reaching out to me enjoying it? And that's,
and I think the writing process really helps you develop a voice. You have to sit there and actually think about what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's really helped me as kind of an educator understand my role as a teacher or as an educator. How am I reaching people? What is the messaging going into that? Have you found any like overriding topics or a message that you keep coming back to?
My biggest message is, and we've talked about it a little bit, is the idea of empowering yourself, learning, and taking matters into your own hands, and enjoying the process of that. So, because there is no answer. Keto isn't right for everybody. Fasting isn't right for everybody. Fine paleo isn't right for everybody. We don't all need to be snatching. We don't all need to do CrossFit, all of these things. But there's so much information and it gets overwhelming, so I get that too, but you need to just do the work. You need to go out and like find the podcasts that resonate with you and read the magazines that you're into and connect in real time with people who are smart and know things and learn from them and figure out what works for you. Don't just go on Instagram and see like this hot person and do what they do. Like, you just can't take anything at face value these days.
Yeah.
That's it.
I feel like the more of a beginner you are at something, the more you focus on the specific methods.
Yeah.
Like you just said, like, you know, paleo is one method. It's one way of eating. You know, snatching is one exercise of many you could choose. Cross is one type of training that you could do out of the many types of training you could do. From like a first principles perspective, though, you need to eat as healthy as you can. You need to move every day. You need to build strength. You need to be injury free.
Yep.
And there's many different ways to do those things. Like finding the one that works for you is really the that's the long game, because you may never feel like you found it, but along the way, you should be trying many different things, and hopefully you settle on something that makes you feel good.
Yeah. And the upside to, like, the total information overload issue that we have these days, where there's so much out there that it can be overwhelming, is that if you can just kind of take a step back and look at it like this is part of your journey and it's a positive thing, and you can take some stuff and leave some stuff, but you have more options than ever to find the lifestyle and the way of eating and working out and being that works best for you. It doesn't have to just be A or B. There's a billion ways to crush it. That's how I look at it.
Dig it.
Where can people find you?
You can find me. I'm really active on Instagram, probably too active, at The Muscle Maven. And I just launched a website, which is my name. It's ashleyvanhouten.com, but that's kind of hard to spell. So find me on Instagram at The Muscle Maven, and the web address is there, and you can reach out to me there.
Beautiful. Douglas Larson, where can people hang out with you?
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram, Douglas E. Larson.
Nice. Rock. Hey, this was super fun.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Do you want to know something really cool about this job? is that I would never meet you, one, because you're in Toronto.
Ish.
Close. Ottawa. Wherever. In the middle of Canada.
That weird wasteland north of the United States.
Ottawa,
yeah.
Toronto. No, you're, I think that in the writing and in the podcasting and just, we become really good at communicating. Mm-hmm. And the message that you put out is really, really important. And I think people should really take away just the idea that there is no right way. Yeah. And I love meeting people that are on the journey versus saying, go do
I
this.
I found it, yeah.
And coming from bodybuilding, checking out CrossFit, doing this powerlifting thing, like understanding all these modalities and the way that people express movement or express just being healthy. And it doesn't have to be paleo. It doesn't have to be keto. You don't have to attach yourself to some brand or something.
Right.
But just be on the journey and always be learning. And whether it comes out in the writing, whether it's podcasting or just the way you live your life, it's always important to just be on the journey and express yourself and be comfortable with who you are so that you can hopefully influence other people to live a better life. And
that's
really appreciate you coming to hang out.
Thank you so much. You said it best. That's it. We can end right there. Perfect.
Come to hang out with us. My name is at Anders Barnard, all the things. And get into the Shrug Collective. We have all the coolest kids hanging out with us.
It's
5 days a week. Monday, Bledsoe. Tuesday, Fisher. Us on
Real
Wednesday.
Real Chalk. Barbell Shrug on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I just know the people.
Feed Me, Fuel Me on Thursdays. Yeah. And as of right now, Body of Knowledge on Fridays.
Yeah. Get into the Shrug Collective at Shrug Collective. Find us on YouTube, iTunes. Download, like, subscribe. All the things.
Do it.
And we will see you next week hanging out with more of the coolest people in strength and conditioning. Ashley Van Houten, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hope you guys enjoyed that. Good having Andy Galpin on there for a little bit, huh? Love when that guy shows up. Want to remind everybody of our awesome sponsors. First off, truckcollective.com/vault. $47 a month, 11 programs. Get in there, get strong, be awesome. Want to thank Omax. Get your Omega 3, free box of Omega 3s. Try omax.com/shrugged. Try Omax, TryOmax /shrugged. One free box of Omega 3 Ultra Pure fish oils. ThriveMarket.com/shrugged. $60 in free organic groceries. Free shipping and a free 30-day membership to Thrive Market. The box of food just shows up. And then Organifi. Make sure you get in, get some of the protein. We always talk about the green drinks, but the protein's really delicious too. Organifi.com/shrugged. Saving 20% on your first purchase. We will see you guys next Wednesday.